This is The Only Podcast Left. I'm your host, Harvard. So today, I would like to talk about something that has been on my mind a lot. Something that has probably been on a lot of people's minds since the bombs dropped. The do-over. So one time in 10th grade, I took an exam on the American Civil War, and I got a B+. I know what you're thinking. B+? Disgraceful. But there were a lot of extenuating circumstances during the test-taking period, so I knew I deserved a do-over. But Mr. Fisk wouldn't budge. I explained to him that during the exam, I had to go to the bathroom because I was drinking the recommended 8 glasses of water, and I have a tiny bladder. It took 5 minutes to walk across the hall, into the bathroom, pull down my pants, sit on the toilet, and relieve myself. I probably could have made up lost time if everything went to plan, but the stall was out of toilet paper. I looked at the next stall over, but there was none in there either, and there was no time to drip dry. So you know what I did? I used my sock. My fucking sock. It was one of those thin ankle socks too, so I could totally feel the pee through my fingers when I wiped. That's how much this exam meant to me. So by the time I got back to the classroom, 10 minutes had elapsed. That's how I missed 2 questions and why I got a B+. After 5 days of arguing my case, Mr. Fisk allowed a retest, and I got my grade from a B+ to an A-. Most of us don't get a do-over like I did in 10th grade. Most of us are left wallowing in our self-inflicted misery over one single choice. I need to apologize, listeners, for the choice that I made at the end of the last episode. It was a huge mistake. I violated the number one rule of podcasting: never hook up with your co-host. And the number two rule: if you do hook up with your co-host, make sure the mics are off. I know you're disappointed in me, listeners, but I'm going to do everything that I can to gain your trust back. So I beg you, please, give me a chance. It will never, ever happen again. Today, we have a great show for you guys. I'm here with USC, MIT, our producer Mark, and our field correspondent Gapier. We've got a brand new tribe for our spotlight. We might even get an actual celebrity ghoulie. And a secret guest is joining us for the rehash. MIT, you're going to squee when you see who it is.
I'm a confetti blast on fire.
Sarcasm is an odd color on you.
This show is getting too sexual.
When did you get all Puritan?
I'm American. I'm inured to violence, but sexual relations make me cringe.
Oh, it was just first base.
It was at least a triple.
A single with an error.
Let's call it what it was, recreational spelunking.
It was moderate lip Pilates.
It was porn. Everyone heard what happened.
Because you posted it.
Wasn't me.
USC.
I don't spelunk and tell.
Producer Mark? But why?
Mark said it was because our listeners wanted more drama.
Well, it'll never happen again.
Yeah, sorry, guys. We'll double-check the mics are dead before stuffing muffins.
No. It will never, ever, never, ever, never, never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, ever happen again.
That was an octuple negative. That means it is death happening again.
No, you don't understand. We are never going to do that again. It was a mistake.
Putting our hookup in the podcast, that was a mistake. But our connection is real.
It was a one-time fling.
And the second time?
No. The second time happened because I felt sorry for you.
And the third time?
The third time happened because I felt sorry for me.
And the fourth time?
That wasn't fair. You seduced me by telling me Barack Obama was a guest on Mark Maron's WTF podcast, and his Nobel Peace Prize winning tush actually sat on the sofa in the garage. And you know I have a crush on President Obama. I mean, if I saw Ghoulie Obama, I would without a doubt let him eat me. Fine. USC and I hooked up a few times this week.
8.
5.
8.
Maximum 6.
What are you saying? It was 8 times.
It was not 8 times.
Are you not counting the dog crate? I thought that meant something.
We hooked up 8 times, but that's all done with now. Over.
I can't believe you. In him in 8 times?
Where is she going?
To get away from you. Which is where I'm going to.
Oh, come on, USC. You're leaving too? Hey, guys, come back.
I can't do the show without you.
Not cool.
We have a special guest coming. You're totally gonna miss him. Guys?
Mark, edit this bit out. This isn't drama. It's just sad. Our reputation will be tainted.
Taint.
Gap year, seriously? The show is falling apart. Our tribe is in pieces. I don't know if we'll ever get back together. And if we can't, where does that leave us? Tribeless. Showless. And all you can think about is the Urban Dictionary definition of taint. Oh, come on, fuck you.
Things will get better.
You don't know that.
Look, you created something really cool. And we all need each other too much to just, like, walk away from that. USC and MIT, they know that. And they're gonna come back, I promise. Just wait.
I just wanted to make something good and important together.
I'm gonna find you a real celebrity ghoulie.
Wait, like a real celebrity ghoulie?
A really real celebrity ghoulie.
No more high school janitors.
Heck to the negative.
Not Jay Leno?
Never Jay Leno.
And not Jimmy Fallon?
Wouldn't dare.
That means a lot. Thank you. I know getting a non-Jay Leno, non-Jimmy Fallon ghoulie won't solve our problems, but hey, it's a start. From here on out, I won't let our personal drama interfere with the show. Pure entertainment. Normal segments. And USC and MIT will come back. I promise. I hope. Until then, time for the rehash. This week, we have a really special guest on the rehash. This former football star of Glendale High has transformed himself into a righteous Ronin, righting the wrongs of his past, the dopest of dope smokers, and a ninja DJ who was only just recently exiled from the mall by his best friend Josh. Joining us in studio is the samurai himself, Wesley Fists of Fury.
Damn, girl, you're just like my Aunt Roberta at Sunday supper, picking the Caesar salad from her teeth, talking all the dish. How do you know so much about so much?
Well, you know, we have skills.
And you're making a podcast.
It's the only thing I'm good at.
Dig.
Gratitude.
Respect.
Clap back.
Hold up. I know you, right?
I don't think so.
Melanie.
Melissa.
We were in Spanish together?
Nah, I took French.
You were in Into the Woods.
That's Jennifer Apple.
You were sophomore VP?
No, that's Dana Rappaport.
You were the social justice activist?
Yes. Yeah, that was me.
The one who got the cafeteria to stop using straws?
No, that was also Dana Rappaport.
You're in the AV club.
Yeah. Yeah, I told you that.
I thought I knew you.
I get that a lot. Jewish girl from the Valley. The manufacturer made a lot of models that look like me.
I didn't know we had an AV club.
Yeah, you and Hoyles used to call us the Asexual Virgins Club.
That was you?
Yeah. Yeah, that was me.
You weren't asexual virgins?
Who would want to be an asexual virgin?
And there was a club for pansexual non-binary seahorse waffle eaters.
Yes, yes, you are right. And I was in that club with Todd Altman, so.
See, I knew you, Melanie.
Melissa, but call me Harvard, CEO and creative force of the AV Club.
Wait, so what does AV stand for?
Audio visual.
Weren't there more of you?
Everyone else is just, they're somewhere.
So, look, I know I may have crushed some spirits, like a red solo cup at a kegger, but I'm different now. I see you. You got a gravity blanket weighing down your soul, and maybe I can help you. You want to spill some tea with me?
I assume spilling tea is a cultural reference that a Jew from the Valley should probably not appropriate, but since you brought it up, no. I don't want to spill my tea. I want to spill yours. Josh just exiled you from the mall. Seems extreme.
Stings some.
Preach.
I'd be blitzing if someone did what I did to Josh. I understand. I lied to him. I told him the love of his life was dead. You can't have any friendship if there's no trust.
So then why'd you lie?
I don't know.
Did you want to tell Josh the truth?
All the time.
Then why didn't you?
We're all emotionally shades of yellow. No one digs confrontation. Especially when we know we've done wrong. I mean, even when we're honest, we're not honest. There's no such thing as truth. Not truth. Only how the soul sees it. Are you crying, Harvard?
I'm fine. Is there something you want to say to Josh now? He might download the show.
I mean, he won't.
But he might.
Do you have subscribers?
Some.
But not a lot.
Look, we're getting more every day, and it's forever. So maybe when we go viral, Josh will listen, and he'll hear you, and you can say something that will make him want to take you back. Something important.
You need some tissues, girl?
I'm not crying.
You're not chopping onions.
I'm fine. Listeners don't want to hear my drama.
My audience can smell fronting.
So what? I should just open my personal baggage for everyone to see, like a handsy TSA screener?
A sage once said, I've always been about honesty. Whether on my show, whether I did a movie, whether I wrote a book. As long as you're honest, you don't lose your edge.
Oprah?
Howard Stern.
Ugh, I hate him.
Me too.
But he had an audience.
He had an empire.
I...
Yo, producer Mark, can you help us out? I need a vibe. We need a vibe.
Okay. Fuck. All right. Here's the truth. I slept with USC, okay? I was lonely, and he's a pretty good kisser, and he's short. So when I lean my head down, I can rest it on his head, which, you know, is kind of sweet. But it's not forever, okay? It's just for now. And for some reason, it pissed off MIT, which pissed me off because I don't know why she's so mad at USC.
Seriously?
Clueless.
Three kids working together, living together in a confined space, that's the recipe for a love triangle.
You're wrong.
Yeah?
MIT is gay.
Yeah?
So she isn't crushing on USC.
Yeah?
And USC isn't crushing on MIT.
Yeah?
So there's no triangle, dum-dum.
Yeah?
Unless...
Yeah?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. MIT loves me?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Do you love her?
She's my best friend.
You need to talk to her.
I'd rather avoid this forever and ever until we forget that it happened.
But that's not how it works. It's like I said, we're cowards. We don't speak our heart. Nah, we hang on to our hurt. We let it knot us up until we explode. I did it with Josh and I got exiled. I did it with Turbo and he threatened to kill Josh and all the kids in the mall, all because I was a coward. Well, not anymore. I have to confront Turbo. It's the only way. Because if we don't, we'll just be asexual virgins. You know, which you can be if you want. No judgment. But I'm guessing you don't. No one wants to be exiled. No one wants to be alone. Right?
So, Wesley's gone, and USC and MIT still aren't back. Neither is Gap Year. I can't really do the show without them. So maybe I should do another sponsor. Okay, well, one thing that's really important in the apocalypse, undies. Specifically, me undies. Maybe in the pre-apocalypse, you weren't someone who people considered traditionally attractive. Maybe someone once compared your forehead to a knobby nightshade on Instagram, and after that, your prospects for smashing face were less than nil. Now that the world is over, you find yourself suddenly as the object of desire, and an actual human being is trying to get into your underwear, so yeah, you go for it. And you want to look your best, so yeah, you sleep with a guy, and then you try to move on, but he gets clingy, so you think, sure, maybe a casual relationship might be something you can pull off, but you still know it's a bad idea. And again, it's not like you have a lot of experience with this, so you fuck him again, a couple times, maybe 8 times, but then your other friend starts acting all weird, and then Wesley helps you realize it's because she's into you, and you you think, shit, was I giving off the wrong vibes? I mean, listen, I am a pansexual, non-binary seahorse who enjoys the occasional waffle, but still, I don't think I was putting out the vibe that I wanted anything more than friendship. Seriously, all I want to do is do my show and not get caught up in a love triangle. That's it. Not at all. No love triangles. If you're like that, then you should try MeUndies.
Hey.
USC.
Hi.
MIT, you came back.
We're back.
Did you hear what I said?
All of it.
All of it, all of it?
Well, I have to tell you something.
Let's wait until after the show.
No, I'm done waiting. I've been wanting to say this for a long time. I love you, Melissa. Please say something.
Let's start the next segment.
That's all you have to say?
I don't want to talk about it. God damn it, Mark. I don't give two shits about what makes for good drama, okay? I don't want to talk about it.
How are we going to be a tribe if we can't get past this?
Harvard?
Melissa.
You know how we both feel.
Yeah, you gotta choose.
Who do you want to be with?
I think it's time for the tribe spotlight. Hit it, Mark. Today, we're joined by Brandon Rivers. So, Brandon, what is the name of your tribe?
We are known to you as the Lark Lords.
You can't see Brandon, but he is dressed in an extremely convincing Transformer costume.
Correction. This isn't a costume. We do not cosplay. We are LARP. Live-action role-playing. When Brandon is suited up, he is no longer Brandon, the mathlete with a serious acne problem because he has a compulsive face-touching disorder, and no matter how many times he listened to the guided self-meditation on Headspace, he couldn't stop his anxious behavior, and the zits got so gross that he started wearing masks to hide his face. Rivers.
That sounds awful, Brandon.
No, it can't list. In this suit, there is no Brandon. There is only Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime.
My apologies, Optimus.
Prime.
Sorry, Prime.
No, my designate is Optimus Prime.
I understand.
Not Prime.
Got it.
Optimus Prime, guardian of the Allspark and defender of Cybertron.
You really think you're Optimus?
Guys, seriously, okay? It ruins the whole thing if you don't use my full name.
So you're the Optimus Prime?
Not always. I began my life as a simple slave bot named Orion Pax. I was a humble, average dock worker trying to save up my cubits to propose to my designated life mate, Ariel. But then, Megatron, a radical upstart, approached me about stealing shipments from the Iminium cruisers that passed between Cybertron and Megadonium. I needed the cubits to propose to Ariel and agreed to work for Megatron. But Megatron betrayed me. He tried to kill me. I barely survived. Near death, I underwent a radical surgery to reconfigure my cybernetics and emerged as Optimus Prime, the first of the Autobot Warriors.
That is so romantic!
Are you serious?
Tell me everything.
Well, Ariel was wounded in battle.
How?
Defending me.
Tragic.
But then she was built anew as an Autobot named Alita One.
Ooh, glimmer of hope.
But then the war separated us.
Double tragic.
One day, when Megatron has been rendered into molten steel and his disciples have been tossed on the scrap heap of time, then, and only then, can we finally be together. On that day, we will know what it means to love and be loved. On that day, we will both cease to exist as our consciousnesses merge files and we become a singular entity and call ourselves Elitus. Alita One, if you're out there listening, I'm waiting for you.
This is some delusional bullshit.
Shut your stupid face!
He's a pretend robot.
Autobot.
This is an entry-level fanfic, okay? He has love in his heart.
He's wearing a mask because his face looks like a fried strawberry crepe.
The saga of Optimus Prime is poetry.
You have no concept of story.
Okay, well, I got 57 likes on my slash fic story about Groot and the trash heap from Fraggle Rock meeting at a landscape design convention. And then together, Groot and Heap
made a verdant forest in the desert.
Optimus Prime is amazed.
The trees are their children.
We get it. It is trash. Literal trash. It sucks.
Oh, like you could do better.
If Optimus loved Alita...
Optimus Prime, guys.
If he loved her, he'd be with her.
They're in a war.
Then he fights to be at her side. Because being without the person that you love is too painful. Right, Harvard?
Maybe it's better if I go. Optimus Prime suddenly feels uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, sure. So, thanks for this.
And can I give you guys some advice before I catch this shuttle to Cybertron?
TBH, you're the last person who should give advice, Brandon.
Yeah, I'm not taking advice from a guy in a mask.
Okay, you know what? Fuck you. Seriously. Okay, why don't you go through your parents' mail, find the 20% coupon to Bed Bath & Beyond, go to the one in Studio City because the one in Burbank has no parking and you can't tell where the entrance is, go inside. Ignore the spatulas and the meat thermometers, get a personal massager, find the D batteries in the checkout aisle, put them inside, and then you can go fuck yourself. I mean, I felt sorry for you. I came all this way. I came from Toluca Lake. I narrowly avoided a horde of ghoulies and had to sidestep a fucking business meeting for mutant squirrels. Not to mention I dodged Shirmazon territory in 4-H land in character. And you treat me like I'm the tragic drunk Batman posing for tourists in Hollywood? Fuck you. You know you're LARPers too, right? The three of you play at being podcasters. You have no idea what you're doing. You're aping the good original shit that other people did and pretending it's your own. That is the definition of live-action role-playing. Being something you're not. Okay? You're not funny. You're not original. And the only reason anybody downloads your cast is because it's like watching a car crash into a truck filled with chickens and the explosion sets the car on fire and the chickens are on fire and the terrible irony of the whole thing is the driver of the car is a vegan and it's all happening in slow fucking motion while those chickens roast. That's you. That's your fucking show. That. A flaming chicken crash.
What?
Do-over.
I can't hear her.
Do-over.
Mark, can you stop the music real quick?
I'm calling a do-over.
It doesn't work like that.
I'm the boss. I'm the creative force driving the show, and I say do-over. Do it all over. We trash this episode and start fresh tomorrow. No one needs to hear this trick.
I thought we were actually doing something meaningful, personal.
Too personal.
These are feelings.
Well, stop leaving them on the floor where they're just going to get stepped on, okay? Pick up your feelings, fold them, and put them in a drawer which you won't ever open again. This isn't that kind of show. This isn't a talk about your feelings and air all of your emotional baggage like Nanette. This is a cultural podcast about the Armageddon. Irreverent, witty, informative. This isn't about our problems. It's about everyone else's problems. The role of a host is to be funny, yet empathetic. To have the audience believe that you are their friend, but really you couldn't give a shit about them. Like Oprah, or Ellen, or Judge Judy, but not Fallon. Anyone but Fallon. No more personal business, no more love triangles, no more bites, no more. We're just going to sit here until Gaffier gets back. We'll record his celebrity ghoulie segment, and then we'll do it all over. He'll be right back.
He's been gone a while.
I mean, longer than usual, actually, yeah.
He can take care of himself.
Maybe we should check the cameras, see if we can find him.
He probably took some shrooms and got lost.
Okay, I don't see him on Central.
Yeah, nothing on Brand.
Maybe check Division Street.
Okay, sure.
He can't be nowhere.
Mm-mm, nothing.
Yeah, he has to be somewhere. Just keep looking.
Look, that's Gaffier right there.
This is obviously a prank.
No, I think that...
Guys, this is Gaffier we're talking about.
Wait, no, I don't believe this at all.
That's not him.
No.
It's a joke.
Harvard, it's not a prank.
That's what he was wearing when he left.
It's Gaffier. He's on the floor.
Is there blood?
What?
Oh, my God.
No, no, no.
Harvard, look at me.
Oh, my fucking God.
Look.
Oh, it can't be.
No.
Gaffier was murdered.